Hello and welcome to the Ionomics Community Podcast. This is episode 2. It's a weekly discussion of all things related to Ionomy and the Ion blockchain. My name is Michael D. Pomerantz at MDP_ESQ on Twitter. ESQ refers to my being a former lawyer, litigator, which means this is a good time to remind you that nothing on this podcast is to be construed as legal or financial advice. For my more uncensored left-wing politics, weird music, Philadelphia sports, and motor racing Formula One thoughts, you can get me at M-P-O-M-Y on Twitter. This is an M-Pommy production. We got no guest because I'm still trying to decide on the technical aspect. My dog is the guest. Every good podcast needs a dog making noise in the background. See how long she can hold out without completely killing us here. All right. Lots of stuff to talk about in Ionomy world right now. Some great, some not so great, or maybe not so great. Time will tell. We're going to talk about Bittrex. There isn't much to say. I'll talk about it briefly, share the vibe around Ionomy, but we are going to talk about Bittrex and the delisting. We'll do a XDM update. And before I do that, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about games and game development. And then we'll take just a minute and talk about what's going to be the second token on the Ion blockchain. That's Atoms, A-T-O-M is the ticker. And it sounds a lot like Atoms, which is how it was auto-correcting me. Also, if you are good enough to listen to the end, and since I have no guest, it's not going to be very long. I'm going to do a classic cheap shot Ionomy tease at the end, something, a project that I'm working on a little bit that I really am fascinated by. And as far as I know, it's unlike anything anyone on this team has ever done before. So, yes, that's right, Dolly. So stick around and we'll get to that. But let's start with Bittrex. So on June 21st, U.S. customers won't be able to use Bittrex anymore. I have not probed this with the central members of the Ionomy team, but Ion is one of the coins that's been delisted. So no longer available to trade on Bittrex for customers in the U.S. Still available in international Bittrex, still available on Upbit, but U.S. customers will now have to trade Ion somewhere else. And on the one hand, this is a little bit of a shock. There's no reason given for why this is happening, and that is the truth. There's been some speculation these stories in the press are kind of ridiculous, even to someone who's not super tied in to the crypto community, at least not until very, very recently. So apparently Bittrex is doing this out of abundance of caution for assets that were the subject previously of an ICO. I don't know where that's coming from. There's prolific litigation involving a former, or I guess it's, I don't know if Kick still exists, but it's a texting platform. And I guess they kind of ran out of money and they did this at a time when crypto looked like a good way to get money from people. So Kik and their coin, KIN, K-I-N is the ticker, are now getting lit up by the SEC in the United States. I have seen nothing other than pure speculation that connects that litigation or regulation or enforcement or whatever with Bittrex deciding to delist a number of currencies. One of those currencies is Storage, S-T-O-R-J. They're ranking in the top 150 on CoinGecko. High volume. And apparently this delisting for this huge market cap asset hasn't affected their price at all. I mean, I don't follow price that much. I don't know the current price of ION too precisely. But it's sort of an indication of how people feel about something having happened. And at least in Storage's case, the delisting is almost like it didn't happen. So, you know, the vibe around Ionomy has been they don't have to explain themselves. It's their party. They want to have us on there one day and delist us the next. That's fine. And from my semi-insider, semi-outsider status, I see that no one here has missed a beat. I just stop for a minute, digest the news, and keep going. And there's so much stuff going on, some of which involves the exchange. And I'll talk a little bit more about the exchange a little bit later in the podcast, but it's kind of an interesting time. And the timing of the delisting, which, all things being equal, I think everybody would rather have ION listed on Bittrex and available to U.S. customers in that way. But the fact that this has happened, and this is where we are, it does coincide with stuff that we're working on with regard to the Ionomy exchange. So that's sort of a coincidence, an interesting coincidence. But no reason given, pure speculation in the articles I've looked at, and if Bittrex is going to do business this way, it may not be the best for them. So, you know, we wish them luck. I wish them luck. And we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, doesn't really even break the stride for Ionomy. Now, let me get into something fun. It goes back to April of this year. But, of course, in April, I wasn't trying to have a podcast. So on the one hand, I want to be talking to you about XDM. XDM is still for sale. I'll give you the XDM update. But I also think it's cool to just step back and see, kind of ruminate over Game Grid, which with the initial excitement over the XDM sale and the market rebounding for Bitcoin, it's like this big news gets a little bit lost in the shuffle. And to me, it's one of the most exciting things that I've seen while I've been here. And then also, it relates directly to XDM. So here's the Game Grid spiel. It was unveiled back in April. And on the one hand, you can say, well, it's just rebranding something that was already there, a suite of tools called Power Grid. And I think even now, the Power Grid webpage on Ionomy is still active. So, first of all, if you don't know any of this, if you don't know Power Grid, you don't know Game Grid, here's my best effort. And you can hear me hemming and hawing because it's like, it's almost easier for me to say what it isn't. Like, Game Grid is not a platform where you can build games. It's a place where you can make games better, but it doesn't make games. It's also not a place where you can play games. You're not coming there to, you know, either gamble or play some other kind of game. There is a facility that we're working on with that, and I'll talk more about that in a different episode. But Game Dock has the capacity to be an actual entertainment place. But Game Grid is more of a place to work. And it's worth talking about because to get it to work, it takes XDM. All right, so with regard to games at Ionomy, we have Ionomy Studios. Game Dock is coming up, but it's not really out yet. It's been announced. And the Ionomy Studios games, including Off-Road Heat, and The Moon or Bust, and Crypto Gravity, all three of them feature tournaments where if you can get a high score, you get paid in Ion at the end of the tournament time. So everybody knows how long they have, and you play as much as you can. If you buy the power-ups, supposedly you've got a better chance of scoring high on the leaderboard. And if you're at the top of the leaderboard, you get paid. You get paid money that you can take with you anywhere in the world. You can exchange it for Bitcoin at our exchange, but you get paid in real money. That's Ion. And it's denominated for the purpose, and I didn't realize this at first, but in the tournament or on the leaderboard, at the end of the tournament, there's a denomination, and the denomination is in US dollars. So the tournament is paying you an amount that is, I guess, relatable. Game Dock, I guess I can just tease it a little bit. I mean, you've also seen the video, so you probably know already. I mean, the idea of sideloading the games is kind of revolutionary. It's kind of unheard of, where instead of just having access to either a game that we develop at Ionomy Studios or a game where we partner with a developer or work with a developer, a developer comes along and uses Game Grid, Game Dock could introduce a whole number of games all at once, existing games, and that is going to be a difference in the pace of adoption. But we'll do Game Dock another time in some more detail. We talk about these tournaments. I mean, Game Grid is vital to that. Like I said, it's a place to work. So if you're a developer and you're going to take advantage of this API, you can set up your game with a tournament that pays out this real money, Ion. So you can have leaderboards. And there's a video walkthrough of it, and I'll link in the show comments. But there's a walkthrough. You see how you can set up a tournament in two buttons, two clicks of the mouse. And then with regard to the newness of Game Grid compared to just being a rebranding of an existing product, something that didn't exist before at all, which is available now, is the tournament API is more advanced. And from the perspective of a non-technical person, the main difference is you could have head-to-head player versus player action in a bracket-style tournament. So we had the leaderboard before, and now it's almost like going from 3D to 4D. So having the possibility of player versus player, to me, as somebody who plays games a little bit, it's like that is going to be very attractive. And when you have player versus player and real money involved, I think putting yourself in the best position to be successful, because now there's a whole combination of factors. In addition, look, you got to have a good game. It's true for all of this stuff. But if you have a good game, you can lock people in a completely different way when you explore these vectors. One being that there's real money at stake. Another being the social aspect. The social aspect is proven. We know that that works. So we don't try to deliver, or Ionomy doesn't try and deliver the entire, you know, multinational Fortnite experience. Instead, you build what's in front of you and you make sure it works. You make sure it's solid and reliable. And then you take it to the next level. So with regard to what's available to the Ionomy Studios games, and there's new games that are coming out this year, they're being tested. There's now this new dimension available through Game Grid. And just to kind of wrap it up, the XDM factor, the XDM applicability is in the game's in-game economy. So you can use the upcoming wallet to make tokens. Everybody can have a blast and make tokens at the touch of a button. And every time somebody does that, XDM has to get paid in. Now, it can be obtained through the exchange. It's not like you have to have the XDM in your possession. But the payment is denominated in XDM. Every XDM transaction has value to every XDM holder because of the burn factor. Let me say that again. Every XDM transaction adds value for every XDM holder. And it's great that you can just make tokens, but really the place that that's worthwhile, the place that that's something that you would even want to do, is in an in-game economy. And it's as much as you can imagine. I mean, you pay your XDM, you get a whole bunch of one kind of tokens. You want to do an in-game economy with 50 tokens? Knock yourself out. The whole point is that it's open-ended and only limited by your imagination as the indie game developer. And if you look at the walkthrough, and again, I'll link to it, it's so easy. So to the extent that, you know, crypto is hanging around, doesn't seem to be going away, and the same is true for games, there's a real exciting combination that I like how Ionomy takes it step by step. And, you know, a couple of years in technical world is forever. But I feel like if you go at the right pace, you can make something really worthwhile, something that works. I mean, just there's people who, they made their living playing Ionomy games and getting paid in Ion at the end of every tournament. All right, let's shift gears now and talk about XDM. And this is more of a personal journey for me because I am not a financial person and I'm not a crypto person. I'm trying to learn more about both, but I didn't really know what an IPO looked like. And I had no idea about an ICO, which, you know, in the short time of my being in crypto, it's like a bad word. Like, you say that, you have to, you know, cover your mouth or speak in a low voice, ICO. So when it came to an IEO, which is what's going on with XDM right now, I was completely confused. I was in the dark and I couldn't understand a very simple problem. And it seemed to me that there was just like, there was not going to be a solution. I think, I haven't checked with anybody, but I think an ICO, there's a number. There's a number, there's a value, there's an asking price, there is a number. And when XDM went on sale, there was no number. There was no minimum bid. And to me, that was fascinating, because what was explained to me is that the people who care about it, the people who looked at the white paper and read about it on the website and talked to us about it, they set the price. They set the price. And I guess this is gamification or economic theory, or I don't know, but the whole structure of incentivization, beginning with an initial round that features, I think, 10% of the total super small supply, and then telling people, you can bid on this. Your bid may get accepted, or it may get beaten, and we'll take the top bids until we sell the first 10%. And if you didn't make a top bid and the rest of it got bought up by people who bid more than you, you're out of luck. Good luck in the next round. Or if you were, I guess, being funny with what you were bidding at the time of what they called the golden hour, well, congratulations. You just made a deal. The golden hour was the snapshot that could occur at any time within a 60-minute window, so that if people were making orders or placing bids or withdrawing or getting beaten or whatever, then whatever was on the book when that snapshot got taken, that was the number. That was the group. That was the first 10% of the supply. And I don't even know what the price ended up being, but I was so fascinated by the process. And the extra sauce being the disincentivization for the second, third, fourth, and fifth rounds of sale, the part that's going on now, that being that the community sets the price. And so in the second round, the price is the price because it's the average of all the successful bids, all the successful orders in round one. And then in round two, the price is the price plus 10%. And then plus another 10% in the next round, and another, and another. So the longer you wait, the more it costs. Of course, our position is it's such a good deal, it doesn't matter. So I think the orders started May 20th. I think the golden hour was on the 25th of May, and the price is what the price is. I don't even know what it is, but there's been a slowdown, and that's exactly what you would expect would happen when you disincentivize later purchases. So the sale is going on. I don't know what the parameters are, but there may be another round of interest. There may be some marketing efforts to drum up some interest in different places. I think most of the people who have made successful bids so far are people who already knew about it. And as always, we're trying to spread the word. So when we talk about trying to spread the word, that is a pivot point into, still on XDM, airdrops. And airdrops were part of the newsletter, but it's such a cool thing to have happen, to be a part of, and it's definitely worth talking about. So there's 50%, I believe, or almost 50%, almost half of it's going to get thrown into the airdrops. And that means that classes of individuals, by virtue of their class status, will receive XDM. it hasn't been worked out what all the classes are, but I know that one of the things that we're always talking about is incentivizing platform use. In this case, perhaps rewarding platform use. So if you're a Masternode owner, if you're a ShareNode holder, if you're interested in Atoms, you know, might not be a bad thing to look into. Those assets or some class or some category of those asset holders will be entitled to or will be receiving airdrops. I think it should be, we should take a second and stop and talk about Atoms because there's a new market that I don't think is active as of the moment I'm recording this, but I think it will be active momentarily. So the Atoms are, it's a legacy asset. It's currently without an actual token, so it's just a ledger entry. But there are a number of them. It's a, I guess, a subgroup in the Ion community. And we're at the point now where we're able to make tokens on the Ion blockchain. The first token, of course, is XDM. The second token is going to be the token that accompanies the ledger entry, the ownership of the Atoms. And this is sort of one of the, I mean, almost like existential outsider weirdnesses of crypto, where it's like people have been holding an asset, but it didn't exist, but they have the right to it and they can even trade it. I mean, there's an Atoms BTC market at the Ionomy Exchange. So why do they even need the tokens, right? Well, the tokens are going to create additional status, especially with regard to XDM. We already talked about how Atoms holders are going to be entitled to airdrops, but we've also got to think about if you're staking Atoms, if you've got Atoms, if you're holding Atoms, and people are pumping out their own tokens on the Ion blockchain, they're spending the XDM. The XDM fee is getting collected. Part of it is getting burned. But part of the fee is getting shared around via protocol. And who gets it? Atoms. And, you know, other Ionomy platform and probably beyond. But one place you know that that portion of the fee that gets distributed after the XDM is transacted is Atoms. So that's yet another reason. You're kind of getting, in the first part, a benefit where the XDM is airdropped just because of your status as an Atom holder. And in the second part, you're getting the benefit on a more regular basis. All right. From here, I think it's time to talk briefly about the exchange and then kind of wrap things up. Why is it important to talk about the exchange now? Well, I don't think any revolutionary change is coming to the exchange. I think potentially more volume is coming to the exchange because it's still a place where users, wherever they are, can transact with Ion. And that's, you know, that's part of the core value and the core belief of this team, as I understand it. And I think it's embedded in the crypto community at large. In other words, when you take the concept of money, you know, means of exchange, when you take that away from the nation state, then those boundaries, to me, they kind of lose meaning. So it's confusing to me why the United States should be allowed to regulate crypto the way it regulates its own legal tender. I am not trying to get on a soapbox with this, but the idea of being safe is not absent from entities that prefer freedom, prefer independence. In other words, those concepts of a completely safe and secure place to do business, like an exchange, for example, and one that is completely, say, anonymous, like that's that. Those things are not mutually exclusive. And if a user is going to play by the rules, then they have some security that their transaction is going to be done correctly and that there will not be anybody looking over anybody's shoulder and that everything is transparent and what it appears to be. If you don't trust the exchange to act in that manner without having, I don't know, a leash tied around its neck being held by the SEC, you probably shouldn't do business on that exchange. I guess there are, like in any industry, places that exist only for a short time and then they're gone because it was time to cash out your scam. But for anybody who knows anything about Ionomy, the time to cut and run has long disappeared. And it's now about a lot of hard work that a lot of dedicated people do day and night. There were some things going on over the past week or two that, as far as I could tell, people just weren't sleeping, staying up on 24-hour shifts to get to make sure everything was exactly the way it should be. So that's a level of dedication and passion that that is very impressive. And that is what goes into the exchange, talking about the same exact people in terms of engineers, administrators. So if, you know, if that's not enough, that something needs to have basically a straitjacket on it because, you know, people in the United States don't really understand crypto then, or at least people in the government don't really understand crypto, then so be it. It's definitely a shame. But for people who actually look at the track record to find out if there's really any reasonable cause for concern, they know that the exchange works phenomenally. I mean, it's only been around less than a year, but it is nice to have the option to expand it if more established venues such as Bittrex choose to go in a different direction. I mean, right now, the Ionomy Exchange is zero KYC, and I guess that's increasingly something that it's hard to find. All right. There is a project coming up that I am very excited to be a part of. I think it has a little controversy, a little excitement. But when you look at it on the surface, it kind of looks like, what? So I will say this. The controversial part is something that I am participating in as a subject. I'm sort of one of the guinea pigs. And we're seeing how this new device, this actually involves a piece of hardware, which again, for Ionomy, totally unknown as far as I know of the history. I don't think anybody here has ever created a little box that was for sale. But I've got one of the little boxes in my home, And, you know, so far nothing terrible has happened to me. So we're getting into some information, and there's a crypto angle, there's a data angle, there's a hardware angle. It's a really different and really exciting concept. There's patented technology that nobody else has. So they're talking about some exclusive tech. Maybe on the surface it looks a little boring. Like, if you watch Better Call Saul and you only saw him walking through the mall, like with the old people, you might think that wasn't such a great show. But this might involve walking through a mall. So think about it that way. In the meantime, I'm going to read my disclaimer. I'm going to play some more music, but, thank you very much for listening. We always appreciate your feedback. You can reach me at MDP_ESQ or at MPOMI. My name is Mike Pomerantz. Nothing in this podcast constitutes professional, legal, or financial advice. Crypto markets can be extremely volatile, and everyone is strongly urged to do their own research or consult with the appropriate financial professional. Also, the podcast is independent, but not unbiased. I am a member of the Ionomy team, but have been given some time and resources to do this project on my own. That's why it's an MPOMI production and not something that emanates from Ionomy.com. I think people listening to this podcast will see why I'm not just a team member. I'm also a big fan. So am I shilling for Ionomy? Yes, of course, absolutely. But that's not all we talk about here. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Ionomics Community Podcast.